were talking the first time, you were mentioning that one of the original reasons that the Women's Local got started was it had to do with insurance and compensation problems and how the women were getting them.
It started for a lot of reasons, because the women wanted to be counted first, like just like the men. I mean, the men were getting all the preference, and that's...
Were there other specific things that you can remember besides that issue with insurance?
Well, for instance, holding offices. Holding offices. In the beginning, all the women didn't hold offices. We only did that after the...
There was only one woman that I knew, and that was in the Women's Local. The business agent of the Women's Local, that was the only business agent that we ever had.
That's right.
And even on the General Executive Board.
Yeah. We had 26 members.
General Executive Board.
And we only
had
one
woman.
First we had one. We had Mamie Santora first.
Yeah, Mamie Santora.
And then, and
when Hillman died, we had Bessie Hillman.
Bessie Hillman got on.
Yeah.
And
now I don't know how many they have. I lost.
They got one in the Southwest. They got three or four now. Three or four.
But originally there were none, or
none.
Only one or two.
There were none from the beginning. Then they put in one.
But just after the Women's Local was started,
I wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm.
When the Women's Local started, they had to have a woman business agent because it was a Women's Local. And I think Sarah Rosner was the...
She was the original.
The original one.
She was the one, but she didn't last very long.
So that was the first, officer?
That is right. The first member of the staff that was, I mean, the first woman that was put on as a staff member.
Did you see some changes from there? Were there...
Oh, yes, that's where the changes started, sure.
There's more women started to come into the organization.
Then they were given more recognition. They were put on different committees, on the board of directors. Even on the board of directors, we only had... Anna Linkers was the only one from the beginning. Know that? She was the only one from the beginning.
Yes.
And the Women's Local didn't have anybody on the board of directors. I was on the... May Hill was the president of the local then, and she was on the finance committee. So when she retired, I became president, and I took her place as president, and I also took her place on the finance committee. We have a finance committee that consists... First, we only had three on there. Now we got five. And we didn't have enough people in the Women's Local. They thought we didn't have enough representation to be able to have a member on the board. So the next office from the board of directors was the finance committee, and that's what they put our member on, and that's what I was a member of. But my status was the same as the board of directors. I mean, we counted.
Well, I tell you how Anna Linkers got on from the very beginning, because Anna Linkers was a chairman of Kuppenheimer's, and that was a big shop.
Yeah,
and naturally they wanted to give somebody in that shop recognition, and she was the only person that they could do it.
Yeah, but she was very active.
And
she
was very active.
That she was willing, but she was a chairman. She was a chairman, and she had a lot of people under her control. She had a big representation.
The shop was big.
The shop was big.
Next to Hartshebner Marks, Kuppenheimer was second in line as far as membership, you know,
mm-hmm.
as far as a large shop. Then the rest were, then came, I guess, International, or what they called International, or Simpsons, I don't remember.
Oh, well, I don't know. Simpson was quite large. I think Simpson was larger than, from the beginning, was larger than JL or International.
The difference in these shops was, like, Hartshebner Marks is what we call ready-made. There are suits that are made to order, but mostly they cater to ready-made. That's their product. Kuppenheimer was the same way. They were handled ready-made. Then from Simpsons on, all these smaller shops.
See, I never worked in a big ready-made house. I always worked in a special order house. That's why when I went from the small contracting shop, that was contracting work for two big special order houses, Then they took this small contracting shop in after they signed an agreement from the very beginning, see? So, and I stayed in the special order houses. I never went to a ready-made house. I always worked in special order houses. Then this place that I worked in, where I was chair lady, Banners, they closed up. And then from there, I went to another special order house, the Simpson. And then Simpson sold out to Bourne's, which was another special order house.
We should explain to you the difference between the shops. The ready-made houses are houses that they order suits. I mean, they sell them already made. They do make special ones up for people if they want it. But they cater mostly to ready-made. For instance, like Baskin, all the different stores, they order so many thousands of suits, and that's what they get. Then, hi, how are you?
Fine.
Then the special order that she worked for, see, the in a ready-made, everything is in lots. For instance, like 10 in a lot, 12, 15, 20. The special orders, they only handle individuals or two pairs.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all right. How are you?
Yeah.
So, the companies that she worked for were all special order houses. And those are all special orders. For instance, if you want something made special, you go in there and order a suit from them. They handle all single orders that have one or two pair of pants. In our company, we make everything by lot. It's a wholesale business. Theirs is all custom made. Do you understand the
mm-hmm,
difference?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she means by special order houses.
But another
ours are ready made.
During the war, you know, where they needed work in volumes, you know, like soldiers' pants, most all the shops, whether they were special order houses or ready made houses, were making uniforms.
Yes, during the war, we were all in together. Yeah.
Agnes, when you stayed in a special order shop in New World, you stayed
in ready-made.
Were there reasons was that a choice on your part to stay in that?
Yes. That was
what were the advantages and disadvantages?
Well,
it
all depends where you started. For instance, like myself, my sister brought me in. My sister was working there. As a matter of fact, my whole family worked for her. At one time, my mother, my father. Originally, my father worked for the telephone company, but then he got sick. He had a heart condition, and he couldn't do that kind of work anymore. So, my mother was working in the shop. So he came in the shop, but then he didn't last very long. He passed away. He got a heart attack. He died when he was only 38. So, my sister, you know, it's like one member of the family draws the other one in. That's how I came in the shop.
That's how I got started.
And that's my probably.
My
years
sister
ago,
took me in.
Years ago, they used to do that. Today, I wouldn't bring anybody in the tailoring industry of my own family because I want them to better themselves. I don't want them to do what I did. And if you had children, you would do the same thing.
Was it a question of feeling comfortable with that, like, or it was just a readily available job? Did you want to work with other members of your family to feel more at home there?
No, it wasn't that. It was just that it was available, and we just started. I started during vacation, to be honest with you. I started during vacation. I got a temporary certificate because I was only 15 years old, and then I. By the time I graduated school in January, and by the time I was 16, I got in the shop because they don't take you unless you're 16 years old. Okay. So in June I was 16, and that's when I started. I had gone to work elsewhere before that. I had worked for Montgomery Ward. I was wrapping shades. I told them I was 16. I wasn't. But I told them there. Well, there they didn't fuss with me too much. But then as soon as they had an opening in Hatch, my sister took me in there, and I was making more money there.
Did you work right alongside her?
No. I was a flunky. I was on the floor. My sister was an operator already. See, you weren't allowed to sit at the machine until you were about 18 years old, really. Well, in some shops, they broke them in at 16, but in Hatch, they were a little bit more.
So for 2 years, you couldn't sit at the machine?
No. I was on the floor. You know, I used to do all kinds of work. Prepare the work for the operator. Go from one floor to the other. Go and get things for them, whatever they need. and ship the work out from one floor to another, you know, stuff like that. They do that with all the youngsters.
I was just going to ask if most of the people that did that were the people.
Well, all those that were young like myself, they mostly all started on the floor. They did floor work and then they graduate, get onto a machine, you know. But I think, I don't know if it was 16 or something like that, but I was on the floor that long because I wanted a certain job and I waited for it. I wanted a certain operation, you know. There was no opening, so I waited for it.
You waited until that came?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this, was there a reason, a specific reason that you went into a specialty shop? Was
well, I started in a ready-made shop when I started to work. I was 14 one day, and I started to work the next day in Coonate and Fisher, which was a ready-made house. And it was close for me to go to work because it was in my neighborhood. But I didn't care for it too much. And then I figured this would be closer because this little shop was across the alley from where my folks and my brother had the tavern. And that was close to my home. So I started in that little contracting shop where I had a better chance to learn the making of the whole garment.
That's where you get much better experience in a small shop.
That's right, because they take more time in teaching you, you know. So I learned how to make a whole pair of pants in a small contracting shop.
See, in a small shop, they don't let you do 2-3 operations. In a big shop like where I work, you didn't do that. They split the work up and each one did a small part.
That's right. You see, today it doesn't make any difference if you only know one kind of work or if you do more. If you know more kind of work, well then, if they run short on one, and you can, they can put you on another job. But it's not necessary. If you're trained for that kind of work, well, that's your job, see? Whereas, when you work in a small contracting shop, in my days, they used to make the whole garments, the whole pair of pants. And then the work was divided. It was what they call sections made, where pocket makers would make pockets, and some would make front pockets, some would make back pockets, some would seam, some would stitch the waistbands, you see? And then came the line system, see? So everybody would just do a little piece of work. Then came the Reese buttonhole machine, where they used to set the pockets in, and all we'd done was stitch them. Practically the half of the pocket was done.
Now everything is mostly machine made.
No, I haven't got my...
Was there like a difference in required skills, like in a type of place you were and the type
yes,
of place you were
in? There was.
And if so, were people really conscious of that?
Yes, that's right. We had what they call houses that made good grade of clothes, and we had houses that made cheaper grade of
clothes.
You got
it right now.
We've got only one good house now,
yeah.
Oxford. There's
yeah.
two sell for,
yeah.
But they used to be 200 before, now they must be 300 and up. You know,
Chicago. And everything is made special.
Chicago at one time was considered the quality market. And what happened with Chicago, because it was a quality market, you know, they had to pay much more to have their suits made, and the suits would cost much more. So that many manufacturers start moving out of Chicago to a cheaper market.
They'd go into little towns.
In the little towns.
They weren't organized.
They weren't organized, and they could get the work done cheaper.
That's right.
People
in small towns were anxious to get a job, and they were glad they have a place to work, and they used to go and work there. So over there, they used to pay them half of what we used to get here.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. So we were considered the quality market, Chicago and Rochester.
In Rochester, New York. That's right.
Do you think that was a pretty consistent thing that what happened to the two of you, that if you were you were introduced into a contracting shop, that was your first experience, or you were?
Well, let me explain to you why I liked the work that I was doing, because it was individual, you know. I mean, you handle one pair at a time, whereas when you're working in a ready-made house, you handle big bundles, and sometimes
right.
it gets tiresome working on big bundles, you know. And here, each pair was separate.
And not only that, but sometimes there were different lines in the
And different lines, yeah.
So it kind of broke the monotony.
Yeah.
Ours was We're all one same thing
all the time. The only thing was the difference in the material and the difference in the color. But you did the same thing, like I was putting birth eggs to sew buttons by machine.
Is that the operation you wanted originally?
That's the one
you were
I started. Yeah. Uh-huh. I liked the job because it was easy and it had good money in it, better than a lot of the other jobs. And from Pleasant Street, we changed the zipper scanner and we had to learn how to sew the zipper, and that's what I was doing. But that isn't what I ended up with. I ended up with sewing waist bands.
And I started a machine on a special.
She learned a skilled operation.
Yeah.
Years ago, that was a skilled operation. Now they got machines to them.
But I mean,
when you mean skilled, do you mean that it was hand
done?
It
takes a long time to learn. No, it's a skilled operation. Pocket makers or top stitching the waistband. That was a skilled operation too.
You have a lot of
precise, you know. Yeah.
Got to be just perfect.
Because you have a welt. Like if you take a welt. You have to stitch inside of the welt. And when you stitch one stitch out of the welt, it shows. See?
And you have to stitch close to it?
No, inside of it.
Inside
of it.
You can't see the outside.
You can't see the outside.
You got to feel it.
That's right. Yeah.
You got to have a good eye for it.
So even though I learned to make a whole pair of pants, when I got to be a pocket maker, I chose that, and that's where I stayed, on pockets.
Did most people that got into the clothing industry do that, like choose a contracting shop and stay in that type of situation, or choose a...
No. Some just came in and asked for jobs, and wherever they had an unemployment office here, wherever they sent them, they went. If they didn't like it, they'd leave and they'd come back and ask to go to another place.
Yeah.
It's just like you go for to apply for a position someplace. You'll go in an office, and if you don't like what that type of office work or the people where you're working, or there's something about it that you don't approve of, you want to make a change, so you look for another position someplace else. Well, we did the same thing. At that time, we had enough shops in the city to be able to do that. Today, you can't do that. You're lucky if you got a job. We haven't got any choice today. It's a different setup altogether because... Our membership.
Bye bye.
Bye. Our membership has declined quite a bit.
I'm still a little curious what the attractions for each is. Now you were mentioning the idea of
individual.
Diversity.
It's an individual attraction. Uh-huh. It all depends on the individual in itself.
That's right.
She might have been attracted to the ready-made house, and I was attracted to
Well, I'll give you an example. During the Jewish holidays, like they had the two holidays last week, and tomorrow is the other holiday. Well, every Jewish holiday, I used to go out to a special order house and help out. The job that I did, they'd be people that were of Jewish faith, and they wouldn't come in. I went to Scotch Woolen Mill for a few years like that. They called me once. To ask me if I would come in and help them because those people didn't show up because of their holiday. And I did that particular work, so I went in and helped. The following season, they called me again ahead of time and asked me if I would come in. So I got an idea how they worked, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's a funny thing. It's just like you start in one place, you get used to the place, and that sort of throws you into that, you know what I mean? That environment.
And in both cases, you had some family attachments working in the...
Yes, my sister brought me in, and we represented the whole clothing industry because I was a pants maker, I had a sister that was a vest maker, and one that was a coat maker, so we represented the whole clothing industry.
Right in your own household, huh?
Yeah.
So can we go back to the local again, just for a second? The question that I originally started with was some of the reasons or some of the issues that the local first dealt with or things that were bothering women that they decided that they wanted to get together in the local. And there was the thing with insurance, and then there was the thing with the lack of officers. Were there other things you can think of?
The women just wanted recognition. They just wanted to be on the same level as the men. They figured as long as they did the same work, they should be entitled to have the same representation. And to have the same, and to make, if the man was a pocket, if I was working next to a fellow that was doing my work, I wanted the same pay as he did. We just wanted to be equal. And they, and from the beginning, it was kind of hard because, like,
the men had all the good jobs.
They used to give all the jobs where there were, where the money was made to the men because they figured the man was the head of the family. In spite of the fact that there were a lot of women that were heads of families too. But of course, they don't go into those personalities, you know what I mean? At that time. Now, everybody's conscious of every little thing, but in those days, it wasn't that way. But the only reason why the women did what they did was because they wanted to be recognized the way the men were recognized. They wanted a fair share of everything. That's all. They didn't want any more or any less.
What was some of the first issues that, or some of the first activities that the local was involved in when it started?
We started that whenever there was anything going on in the building, we were the first ones to always to participate. We always offered our services so that we'd always be in. And the first thing we did was to organize a choir. And we used to have a concert once a year, and we used to sing for this choir. Then after that, we got in a dramatic group, we got a dancing class, we had the people, the women that had children, had their children come in, and for a very small sum, we used to get dancing lessons once a week for the children. And we used to give little plays for 2-3 days every year, we used to give a play.
And don't forget the gym and the bowling alley.
The building here had, before we had the clinic, we had a gymnasium, we had a bowling alley, and we were very active in the gym and in bowling. She brought her daughter in, and she belonged to the gym. She didn't belong to the gym, but she belonged to the bowling league, see. And
I had a sick mother and a sick husband, so I couldn't participate in all the activities that I wanted to. So my daughter was in the gym.
Yeah.
And she also bowled with me here.
Yeah.
We had a bowling league, a very, very good one.
I was a good bowler.
Yeah,
she was one of the star bowlers. And we used to,
we had match games.
Yeah, match games
in
other cities that were organized in the organization. They used to come and bowl here, and then we go and bowl with them over there. I wasn't a good bowler. I didn't bowl as many years as Aggie did either.
Hi.
Coming along, Margaret.
Good. Are you walking with us?
Yeah, I started to use it.